What's up, Schmodown fans? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Schmodown. I'm Star Wars competitor Andrew DiMolanta.
And I'm Nikki DiMolanta.
Two matches in the Ultimate Schmodown Teams tournament to go over this time. Thank you for turning on the fan, by the way.
You're welcome. It's going to get warm in here. I was already getting warm. Been in here for about 2 seconds.
It was hot this past week.
It's about to get hot in here. Not even talking about temperature wise. Just talking about team wise.
Team wise, because two very big matches.
Oh yeah, and they only get bigger, baby.
Yeah, they only get bigger the further you go into this tournament. But anything that we have to talk about? I mean, there's a little thing.
I'm sure there's plenty.
Because it's hard to judge like where we are right now, because like we did a special Friday episode going over the Wildberries retirement match,
the throwdown,
which apologies, it didn't air until Sunday. We aired that episode on Friday.
Oops.
But we did give a spoiler warning, like we always do. Our bad. God, I always feel like we're missing something.
Because we probably are.
Yeah. There was that one post that Harloff was talking about looking for competitors.
Female competitors.
Well, he said competitors to join the draft, but
he said female competitors.
Is it specifically female?
I'm pretty certain.
I thought he said it was just like, oh, you know, competitors, but
I will
most likely
pull it up.
Go ahead and pull it up. Because
All right, everybody, hold on.
Because I think he said just like competitors, but more likely like an emphasis on females, but you know.
Hold on.
Trying to fill the air.
Looking for some new female Schmodown pros to put into the draft. Know of anyone I should be looking at? Also, unknowns are okay too. If you have suggested people I know, chances are I've already reached out to them.
So
he hasn't reached out to me. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm not kidding. He hasn't reached out to me, but I'm kidding about being serious.
I still think you'd be good for the division. I still think you could. But
well, I'm not
my opinion.
LA based, so
yeah,
I'm out of the
somebody
running.
Said Bedore would be good. I don't know how. I've never seen Bedore compete in a Schmodown capacity. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she competes in the fan leagues or whatever, but she is very knowledgeable Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
But he said he's looking for locally based.
Looks as though they're looking for people that have the capacity to be at a studio event, probably on somewhat of short notice and don't need a plane ride to get there.
Yeah. And which is kind of might be good news for us, because maybe it's like, all right, we're getting back to the studio and maybe they have something lined up.
But, and I don't mean to get off on a tangent and confine ourselves to Star Wars, but when a lot of your Star Wars talent is located out of California, I wonder if we're planning on doing virtual matches.
Yeah, your current champion and another top competitor, his wife, live in Georgia.
And then you got you here, and then you got Laura in Chicago. So, you know.
It's just curious, like when like almost.
And Sean.
Sean
is somewhere that I'm not sure.
He's California
based. Never mind.
I mean, like,
ignore me.
Yeah, it's like almost 50% of your roster up for Star Wars, I should say, is out of LA.
Uh-huh.
It's not even in the state of California. All of us are almost on the East Coast at that point. So it's like,
that's why I wonder.
That's curious.
If we're going to be doing, I don't know if it's been like confirmed or whatever, but if we're going to be doing like the same type of tournament.
He said it's going to continue
to be virtual, even if we're back in the studio. Like, I wonder if Star Wars will, because I was wondering like, oh, well, maybe if they're looking for local people, it's because when you go on a plane, maybe they want you to quarantine afterward. And you can't exactly do that if you have a studio match.
That's
like,
true.
I don't know. So I wonder if Star Wars will continue to be virtual, in which case location would
I mean,
it
would have to be when, like, you know, obviously I have that title shot whenever it comes up. And if it most likely have to be digital if they don't want me to fly out there, and then it's like, well, you got to quarantine for like 3 weeks before you come out here. It's like, well,
yeah, I usually quarantine's like 2 weeks, and it's like, bro, that'd be expensive.
That's one, that's expensive. Two, it's like it's hard to do.
I'm not gonna do just sit in my hotel room and eat in and out until I gain 50 million pounds.
I imagine it would be quarantine at your house and then travel out, and then don't go anywhere except from the airport to the hotel room to the studio back to your hotel room and then. Peace out.
I was thinking quarantine like, after landing in said place, not before you leave.
Because, you know, it's the COVID world we live in now. But
yeah,
I didn't want to spend too much time on this topic. It's just, you know, because I always like talking about things other than matches, just because it's fun.
Yeah, there was a name that showed up a lot. It was Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
Last name started with a G. I don't think it's Gubbler, but something like that. But her first name was definitely Peggy, and her last name started with a G. And everyone was like, "Yeah, bro, she's gonna tear it up." Yeah. And she's a fan leaguer, mm-hmm. and I guess they said that she is gonna just rip people apart.
Which last thing I'll say about this topic is that if we are in fact getting back to studio matches, and we'll have this conversation when
Gubbins, my bad.
There you go. So when we do get back to the studio matches, and we've said this before. Some people thrive in the digital setting, and others thrive in the studio / live event settings.
Yeah.
So, and we'll have this conversation on the offseason about this digital versus live.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get to see the people that were digital, like Collins?
There are certain people, yeah. and I don't need to name names, mm-hmm. but there are certain people that I'm like, let's see how a studio match goes.
Yeah.
Let's see how a live event goes.
Yeah. So, that's just an interesting thing to throw out there. If we are in fact getting back to studio matches, yeah. I would love to see some of these people that have been succeeding and no scratch on those people.
Yeah.
But it's like, let's get them because it's a different atmosphere.
It's a very different atmosphere.
Very different feeling.
And maybe they'll excel in front of an audience.
Yeah.
And wouldn't that be magical to see?
Exactly.
It would just, I'm just saying right now, since we haven't seen it, it would be interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll see.
Anyways, so let's go ahead and get over to.
We shall see.
Let's get into the first match of the week.
The first match. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All right. So the first match we got here, ladies and gents, mm-hmm. Deception versus the Lethal Weapons. Deception is, of course, Adam, the Coyote Collins. Another missed opportunity. Why didn't we spell Coyote with a K? Just like, why don't we spell Chance the Cobra with a K?
I think at some point he did it himself and said, called himself the. Was it during the horror exhibition?
Like it was something like that did not flow well. It was like the Coyote or something. And it was
that.
I don't know about that.
Just spell Coyote with a K.
Just spell Coyote with a K. Spell Cobra with a K.
Yeah.
Corruption with a K. My phone already corrects the word corruption to having a K. So. Yes. That's when you know mm-hmm. you're in too deep, my friends.
Yeah. And his teammates.
And his teammate, mm-hmm. Marisol, Lady Justice, mm-hmm. Marisol McKee. Mm-hmm. And they are, of course, representing corruption with a K.
Okay.
And they are what?
What? No.
Oh, I thought you were like going to interject or something. Oh, ASLK.
Yeah.
Versus the Lethal Weapons. And that is Ethan, Big Time Irwin, and Andrew. Debonair
Andrew Guy. So
the usual suspects.
Yeah. And I was very looking forward to this match.
Yeah.
Because these are two teams, because like we know how one half of the teams is gonna really perform, Ethan and Collins. But I was like,
yeah.
Marisol, her last match, you know, maybe bad spin, but like not a bad showing, but it's like everyone was expecting her to like go perfect.
Plow through.
It's like, she hit a stumble. Yeah. So I said in the last episode, I thought this match was going to be determined by Andrew Guy and Marisol and how they performed, and boy, was I wrong, because the way this turned out,
it did not hinge
on that factor.
Yeah, it did not turn out the way we foresaw.
Yeah,
and I will admit my error in judgment. Once we get to the end of the match.
Yes.
Here we go. So round one, Marisol missed a question about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Guy missed a question about I Feel Pretty and An American Tale. And then Guy and Marisol missed an Anthony Hopkins question.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Ethan and Adam both got perfect rounds and they both got the bonus. Mm-hmm. So by the end of round one, it was 15-14 in favor of Deception.
Yeah, and after this first round, I was like, yeah, but this is pretty much how I saw it panning out. It's like the people that we expected to just go perfect went perfect.
Yeah.
And the two that we were the, again, here are my air quotes, my audio listeners, support member was just picking up points where they could.
More of a wild card, if you will.
Yeah, that's actually a better term for what I see than the support. Because,
They're more of the wild card,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
You know. Round two. Deception goes first. They spin Harrison Ford. And they stick with it. They go to multiple choice once. They got it right. Oh. And then Lethal Weapons go.
Yeah.
They spin opponent's choice. Yeah. And they get stuck with Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
It was ugly.
Yes.
My friends.
This is an ugly second round. There's no other way to put it than it, no it's other an way ugly to put second it. Round.
They had two-point misses. Mm-hmm. Two out-and-out two-point misses. Mm-hmm. Both got stolen.
Yes.
And then they went to multiple choice three times. They got all the multiple choice questions right. So they got 4 points stolen. Two-point questions stolen. Mm-hmm. So by the end of round two, 19-30 in favor of deception. And, you know, that's it. The knockout.
Knockout win.
Didn't even see round three. So that's where I will admit how wrong I was last week. I said, no. I don't insert clip from last week. No. I don't think it's going to end in a TKO or a knockout. No way. And now here we are.
Yeah. And
eating a big old slice of humble pie.
Yeah. Because I thought it was going to come down to if Marisol missed a couple or if Andrew Guy missed a couple in the first and third rounds. Like, that's the game. Mm-hmm. Man, like, because there are a couple that the steals that Marisol's like, yeah, it's this. It's like, oh, okay, cool. And that led to their knockout win.
Yeah, because I feel if memory serves, I feel like the very last.
Yeah, it was the one that led
steal,
to
Adam kind of like cut out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it was something about an old woman that like disappeared. Mm-hmm. The movie. I forget what it was called. Disappearing Lady. It was something about an old woman disappearing or whatever.
Yeah.
And when Andrew and Ethan were deliberating about their answer, I think it was Andrew who was like, oh, it's either, or both of them were like, it's either a train or a ship. Mm-hmm. And they, for whatever reason, decided to go a ship, and they were wrong.
Yeah.
And then when Marisol and Adam had their chance to steal, I feel like Adam kind of cut out with whatever internet issues he was having. And she couldn't really hear him. And she was like, it's a train. Hey, Adam, do you think it's... And then she just kind of was like, hey, man, I got to do what I got to do. Train is our answer.
Actually, I don't think she even hesitated. She was like, Adam, I don't know if you can hear me. It's train. Let's go with it. And she just picked the ball up and ran into the end zone. Mm-hmm. Because...
Yeah. I feel like that was... Knowing what the other team said, I feel like...
Yeah. Time of the movie, the era. It's like, obviously it should be a train.
Did anybody go anywhere not in trains at that point? I mean, maybe a bicycle.
ship isn't a bad guess either.
No, not for that time period. Like a 39, 1939? I don't remember. But and one of the things that Sam Levine, point that he kept driving home, like in the
difficulty of questions.
In a way, saying like, oh, round two, not one of my guys' questions came after the year 1960 or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were all 1960 and older. And funny how they get Harrison Ford and they didn't get anything older than 95 or something like that. And so he was trying to, you know, go after that angle of, they got kind of lucky. Being Sam Levine. Yeah. And then I believe... Mm-hmm. I don't know if... Actually, I think it was Mark Ellis. Yeah. I don't think it was Shannon. That he was like, well, actually, they got two steals with no multiple choice. So, you know.
And to that point, like, we've seen several matches in Schmodown's history where, like, does it seem like the questions are a little stilted towards one compared to the other? It's like, that's the luck of the draw. That's
kind
of
what it comes down to sometimes.
And it's like,
that's where luck does play a role.
Exactly. And some people want to cry like, oh, they're fixing the match because they want corruption to win. It's like, no, I don't think so. It's just sometimes you get lucky enough to where you get the topics that you like, or the questions just happen to fall that way. It's like, I have no idea how it works. I have no idea how they rotate the questions. And it's just, they have a pool of questions, right? We're going to use this one today. And just, I guess those ones were to our benefit.
Yeah.
People want to say, oh, the questions are so easy. Again, difficulty of questions is subjective.
Very. Completely.
Yeah, because like sometimes there are questions where like there's some matches, like this was one of the matches where I was like, oh yeah, I know that one. Oh yeah, I know that one. I was getting a lot of questions correct when I was playing along. But then there's like a bunch of more times in the past minute. I'm like, I have no idea what that question is.
Yeah, like the Alfred Hitchcock, every guess I had was Rear Window or Vertigo. That's it.
And that's my point. It's like sometimes it's a generational thing. Sometimes it's just, again, luck has a big factor. It's not everything in the Schmodown, but it plays a huge factor sometimes.
Definitely.
But and also in the second round with Ethan, there's this one really uncharacteristic play by his part. It was their first 2-point miss.
Yeah.
And he's like,
which was their first question, if I'm not mistaken.
And they were going back and forth. They weren't really like, I don't they weren't really melding well as a team at this point. They were just discussing. It's like, I think it's this. Well, you know, my first gut went to this. And Nathan's like, yeah, that sounds fine. Let's do that. And it was, and it ended up being a 2-point miss. I was like, what happened? Discuss it more. Use your repeats. And it was this very uncharacteristic way. I thought like Ethan had gotten past like mistakes like this, like rookie-ish mistakes, or it's like, yeah, that sounds good. Let's do that. And not that, really thinking about it.
Or maybe he just had no idea and had nothing to contribute. It could have been that too. Because if I was in that boat and I was like Alfred Hitchcock, I'd be like, yeah, man, whatever you think.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to contribute.
But Ethan doesn't seem to me be a player that like, yeah, I have no idea what Hitchcock is. When he works in the industry.
Yeah.
How do you get to a person of his stature in the industry and not really know a lot about Hitchcock? I mean, he's such a pivotal director in film history.
Yeah.
So to get to his stature, it's like, you got to at least know enough about Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
So I looked at that first miss and I was like, wow, what happened? They had at least 10 more seconds to go. So I was like, discuss it more, because I think he was on the right track. And then Andrew just jumps in and is like, I think it's this. He's like, yeah, that sounds right.
Sure.
Boom. So it was just strange. And I wanted this team to do better, obviously, because it's like, because the entire this discussion with Andrew Guy and Ethan Irwin teaming up was like on everybody's minds when the trade happened. It's like, oh, who's he gonna put in? You have to put him with Andrew Guy. You have to put him with Andrew Guy, because they would balance each other out so well. And then they show up in the tournament. It's like, ooh, maybe you should have put him with Janine, because you know they have history together. You know they have chemistry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, hindsight's 20/20.
And you know, everybody has a bad day. I could have just caught him on a bad day, caught him in a very rare Ethan blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't discount them as a team just from one performance with an opponent's choice necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd love to see them again. I'd love to see them together again, but who knows who they're going to get drafted to?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, you know, if they're even gonna be on the same team.
Yeah.
So
that's what's sucky about this is like, oh man, this is a team I was looking forward to seeing
for a while, but it's
like, now it's like, well, I think that's the season for the suspects, right? I mean, they don't have anybody else in the tournament. They don't have any matches as spectacular. I could be wrong. Hold on. Who is on?
Oh no.
No. Cause the besides title matches, there's also that Kevin Smith and,
Kevin Smith is against, Kevin Smith is a merc. He's against the, Den with Brett.
Mm-hmm. And then Jericho goes up against.
Remember Britney's faction.
I think she's a rock star. No, because Jericho's a rock star. Oh my god, is she a suspect?
Hold on. Maybe I can. Dungeon.
Is she?
That's what the website's telling me.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, I guess the dungeon is spectacular. Wow.
Yeah,
we could be wrong. People will correct us in the comments, but like,
I'm looking on the Schmodown website, so don't don't at me.
Yeah, but so it just
unless
sucks.
I don't know how to read.
It just sucks because like, that's Ethan's season.
Yeah,
it's like that's the last we're gonna see of him until next season.
Andrew's season, Andrew Guy season.
I mean,
and it was interesting because Andrew Guy was kind of, I think at one point Christian made a comment that he was like, he was acting, he was like all four of his personalities in one person that day. It was like, we kind of saw the weird, like,
Shmominati,
hostage. Yeah, Shmominati Andrew Guy at moments. We saw kind of kooky Andrew Guy at moments. Then we saw like old school kind of almost heel Andrew Guy, which was like, whoa, give me more of that. That was good.
Yeah, I've said it before. I'll watch Andrew Guy's matches for the trivia, but I mostly watch Andrew Guy matches for the
Andrew Guy.
Yeah, for the character work.
Yeah.
Because he's one that brings everything he has to the character. And this season is such proof of that.
Yeah.
And it just sucks that I'm like, I wanted to see where we're going to, if he was to get to spectacular, where would we take this character and what storylines would we get out of this character? Because like, I don't think we fully like got to see the hostage type storyline pan out
the Shmominati, because
like, I think they were trying to do something, but it's like, it really, your stories really depend on whether you can continue to win and continue to see the competitor. But now it's like, oh, we gotta cut it off until maybe next season and see what happens with that. But it's just a shame that we don't get to see that anymore. But on the flip side of that, corruption again.
Of course
they get a knockout win.
Another knockout on Adam's record.
Yeah, seriously,
in a different division.
And he, and I said before, if he gets a win in this division, I mean, he's a shoo-in for competitor of the year.
not only was it a win, it was a knockout win.
It's not just like a knockout win in a play-in match between a person that's making their debut in a division.
You can see Ethan Irwin and Andrew
Two heavy hitters in the Movie Shooter Showdown.
Yeah.
And this guy just keeps padding his resume.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like Marisol was there along for the ride. She contributed
in a big way. Like I said, that one when Collins cut out, she's like, I'm going. And that led to the knockout.
Yeah.
So, I think Marisol ended up performing the way that everybody expected her and was touting her to be this competitor. It's like, yep, she proved that she belongs in that conversation. She's not that, again, that quote unquote support player.
Yeah.
This is a team, because there were a couple where she's like, yeah, it's this. And Collins like, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And she was the one speaking first rather than like just agreeing with what Collins says. So this is a dangerous team. This is a very dangerous team.
Oh, yeah.
So, and corruption, corruption is just running away with it now. I mean, it's really going to come down to either they get knocked out of the tournament and they lose all their matches at Spectacular for mm-hmm. them not to win the season. But it's just everybody playing catch up now.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And so now this means Corruption's Deception will go up against the Rockstars Odd Couple, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think we're right this time.
Yeah. we got that switched. Yeah, that is correct. So we'll see Odd Couple Deception in the semifinals.
Which means we get to see a rematch of Jeff Snyder, Adam Collins. Oh, yeah. And Jeff Snyder going to be out for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Jeff Snyder is, I say it all the time, Jeff Snyder is a much better teams player than he is a singles competitor.
And
not that he's a horrible singles competitor.
No, not at all. He obviously made it to the finals.
Yeah,
so.
But he's a fantastic teams player.
And he's going to be a little salty, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure Mark Andrejko wasn't too excited about getting knocked out of that tournament when he was, too. Mm-hmm.
Who did he get knocked out by? He got knocked out by...
I was trying to think of it while you were talking, but I didn't get it. was it Brendan?
It's a lot of
Brendan
matches.
Meyer.
Was it Brendan?
Maybe.
No, he wasn't on that side. Was he on that side of the bracket?
Yeah, he and William were on the same side.
I think you're right.
I think it was Brendan.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, there's just so many storylines for like revenge. And that's the name of the game in the Showdown is redemption and comebacks. And
yeah, because I feel like... Well, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves with the mm-hmm. winner of the next match. But mm-hmm.
There's just so many storylines for this person took me out at this point in the season. I want to get back at them.
Let's put a pin in that and we'll come back to it after this next match. So the next match we have is the Witching Power versus the Founding Fathers. We have Haley, the Firestarter, Fouch, if I'm not mistaken, and Scary Perry Nemiroff of the Witching Power, and they represent the Mercs. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Founding Fathers, who are, of course, Dangerous Dan Merle and the Outlaw, John Rocha of the Finstock Exchange. Mm-hmm. Round one.
And we really needed this match.
Yeah. Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Anybody can take it. It's anybody's game.
No, but like we said before, like going into this match, it's like, it's easy to overlook the Witching Power in this one because it's like the way they perform.
Founding Fathers.
You know, well, one, it's the Founding Fathers, but looking at their last match, how like, people, I'll say straight out, they got away with one. They got away with it because it's very rare that your opponent will miss. They missed all of their third round questions. It's very it happens,
obviously,
but it's very rare that it happens.
Yeah,
and it's like they were just very fortunate that team just crumbled in the third, and now they were able to get to this point. So it's easier to overlook them for that aspect, and also because you're going up against the Founding Fathers.
Yeah.
So, very...
It was a tall order.
It was a tall order. And obviously, you know, who we were cheering for.
Yes.
Because of factions, so.
Yes. So, round one. Haley and Perry both missed the question about Back to the Future with Lorraine.
Yeah.
Hey, you.
Get your damn hands off her.
That's all I'm going to talk to people from now on.
Well, you got it because of the two context clues.
I only got it from context clues because I don't know Back to the Future very mm-hmm. well. My context clues were the name Lorraine. And then once I saw the name Lorraine, I looked back at the date and I was like,
85.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Back to the Future is 85. One of the maybe five release dates I'm aware of ever in my life. So yeah. I know that Die Hard was 88. I know that Back to the Future was 85. And then I know Star Wars release dates. And that's about it.
So... Like what was that line? Because it was It's escaping me because
hey, you.
No, it wasn't that it one. Wasn't it was the second I said it, I was like, oh, come on, man. Everybody knows this. Yeah. It was one, just one of those where it's like, come on, everybody knows this.
I don't remember.
Like, oh, well, so I guess not everybody knows it.
I don't. I sure didn't. Lorraine in 85.
Yeah.
What did it for
know.
Me?
Yeah, but I don't know. Back to the Future is one of those movies I've seen a million times. And I have. It's one of those trilogies that it's like people want to hate on the second and third one, especially the third one. I love all three.
That's
of those
where
movies.
They go to the Wild Wild West, right?
Yeah, I love all three of those movies.
Do they get in their DeLorean?
Yeah, the DeLorean's in all three of them.
That's how they get back to the...
Don't remake Back to the Future, please. I swear
somebody's
going to
do it.
No, no. I think people will riot if they remake Back to the Future.
Well.
Because it's... oh, my God. I love that trilogy.
Nothing's sacred anymore, it seems.
Talk to Brad Gilmore. I can talk to him about Back to the Future all day long.
I mean, it's okay.
Oh, come on.
I wouldn't write a book about it.
I love Back to the Future.
I haven't even seen the second or third one.
You've seen the second one.
I've seen probably parts
you've
of it.
You've seen the second one. Come on.
They, Biff owns a company, and he's a jerk.
Yeah. He kills Marty McFly's father.
His father?
Yeah, he kills Marty's father.
In the movie?
Yeah.
You don't see it?
You don't see it, but like, because when Marty goes back to his present time, it's changed. Because of the almanac.
Oh, and then at one point he goes back to the future, back to the past, yeah. And then he changes it. And then a picture, somebody comes back in a picture, right? The yeah. picture, he reappears in a picture.
Yeah.
So he changes the course of the past, which alters the future, thus creating a new alternate timeline, right?
Yeah.
Sounds pretty problematic,
I
mean, Marty.
No, I know time doesn't really work like that, but like I... Yeah.
If only.
If only.
Man, I'd go back and do some...
Well, we can get an argument about time travel and time space-time continuum all day long on that. Hell, I think the Avengers played it off really probably the best in the movie. I don't know.
Who?
The Avengers Endgame.
Oh.
How, like, because whatever. Let's move on. This could be a whole different like discussion.
Well,
Tangents. Sorry, Tangents is the name of this game.
Tangents. Haley missed a question about Goodfellas. Dan missed a question about Iron Man 3.
Oh God, that was yeah. That's another one. I was like, come on, yeah, it's Rebecca Hall.
I didn't know that.
You know that, but
yeah. Not at all. I know that they have people that have fire inside of them.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And it's called
No, it's not Inferno.
What does it start with?
Oh God, hold on. I had it in my head and it just fell out.
Uh oh.
Come back to me. Oh, I'll have it in like 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, that's it.
Okay. So I better start talking so that he can think while I'm talking.
Yeah.
So Perry, Perry missed a question about Steve Martin. And then Roka missed a question about Lin-Manuel Miranda writing songs from Moana.
That's another
make
one.
Make way.
I was confused. I was like, it's not Moana, is it? Because I forgot the release date of it. I was like, really? Moana's that old?
I didn't realize he... Did he do all the songs or just some of them?
No,
I wonder.
He wrote all the songs from Moana. Yeah, yeah. There's footage of him behind the scenes with Dwayne the Rock Johnson, and he's like,
"What
conducting.
Can I say yeah. except to welcome?" Oh, he wrote Shiny.
Yeah, he wrote all the music.
Wow,
good movie. Great songs.
He should write a musical or something. So by the end of round one, 12-14 in favor of the Founding Fathers.
Technically, he did with Moana, but.
Technically, he did with Hamilton.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was the angle I was going for. Well, I'm Moana too.
Well, no, because I was going off of your point. But like, if you didn't know his previous works, it's like, oh man, he should really write a musical.
Man,
like,
he's really good at this.
He should really write a musical. It's like, well, he kind of did with Moana. Is technically a musical.
I wonder if Moana is like a Broadway show. That'd be cool. Well, I mean, you're underwater. It probably wouldn't work. How do you do the crab scene? How do you do Shiny?
They've done so many.
How do you do Tomatoa?
They've done so many Disney movies as Broadway shows. Lion King has one. Aladdin has one.
Underwater.
Pretty sure somebody let us know.
Little Mermaid?
I think they did. I mean, I wouldn't put it past Disney. Maybe. You can do it for. You can. And they're not even under. They're not even underwater.
Shiny.
They're only underwater for like one part of the movie, really.
With the crab.
Yeah.
Well, they sail a lot.
You can fake that. Come on.
Maybe. The water was really pretty in that movie. That's one of my favorite
parts.
The
movie was beautiful.
It was a gorgeous movie, but the water is just like, oh man, I feel so at peace.
Yeah.
Just watching her sailing, wayfinding.
You correct yourself. I was about to correct you.
What?
It's not wayfinding. Sailing, it's wayfinding.
Wayfinding. And they like put their hand
You're not giving the sky a high five. You're measuring the stars.
And then that chicken. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Voiced by?
Alan Tudyk.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay.
So, Hey Hey. That's his name.
Yes.
All right. Anyways.
Tangents. Sorry.
Round two. Hey, what's the fire in Iron Man 3?
Oh, God. I just had it and it fell out again. It'll come to me.
Like, start with an A.
Extremis. There it is.
Oh, no.
There it is. Boom.
That was right on the tip of my tongue, too.
Extremis.
Almost got it.
Got there eventually, people.
Round two. The witching power spins away from 80s. They get opponent's choice.
They give them 80s.
They get 80s. Mm-hmm. So they go to multiple choice three times. They missed one. It did get stolen. Mm-hmm. They got the other two. So they navigated it.
Yeah,
they wayfound it, if you will.
This is not a terrible second round. This is for a category that you don't know. This is a very good second round.
Yeah.
It's a good second round.
I mean, they missed one question.
Yeah.
They gave up 1 point.
Yeah.
So founding fathers go. They spin away from Denzel.
Yeah.
Washington.
Smart move, in my opinion.
And then they get inner geekdom. And John was like, oh, let me just go make lunch and let Dan take care of this.
Yeah, because, oh, man, I'm still hoping Dan makes an IG run next season.
I would love to see it.
But, like, he's, again, travel, because he's in Arkansas now with
yeah.
So.
And him and Mara.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so I don't. He said on his channel that he will make the time to travel, because he's not just going to be traveling to LA for just for Schmodown stuff. It's for Movie Junk and stuff like that.
True.
So he will be in LA, not just Movie Junk, but for business purposes. So, man, because that was just one thing. Because if Corona wasn't a thing, he'd probably be playing IG this year.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame. And hopefully he makes his IG debut next season, because I would love to see that.
Hopefully.
I'd love to see it.
So inner geekdom. So yes. They go to multiple choice three times because they were kind of saying, you know, there's no need to play too reckless. We got a bit of a lead. Let's be smart.
Be smart.
So they go to multiple choice three times. They got two. They missed one. It was stolen. So the stolen points were a wash. They got one and one. It's whatever.
Which one did they miss? They missed the.
Wasn't it a name of a building?
Was it?
In some movie that John was like, man, that movie sucks.
Yeah.
I just can't think of what the movie was called. Mm-hmm. Dread? Judge Dread?
Yeah, Judge Dread. No, it was something about a fruit or what fruit
that grow or something. Building. Whoops.
No, it was, yeah, it was because like the options were like an orange grove, a peach tree, or something.
Yeah,
that
was the name of the building, I think.
Was it?
I think.
I haven't seen Judge Dread.
Let's go back and fact check ourselves, and then we'll put a little asterisk if we're wrong, or an asterisk that says we're not wrong. But also, one thing I was curious about was one of the questions that they were like, ooh, let's be safe.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's be safe on this question and, you know, not jump ahead of ourselves or anything. They asked who Journey Smollett
plays in
something.
Birds of Prey.
Her name is hyphenated. I just can't think what the second name is. Journey Smollett.
Grace? Something. Is it Grace or something?
I don't know. Anyways, who does she play in Suicide Squad? Mm-hmm. And they were like, Canary, Black Canary, let's be safe and let's go to multiple choice. Mm-hmm. And they go to multiple choice and all four of the choices are a first and last name.
They're the actual actual name of the character and not their superhero name.
Right. So I wonder, had they said Black Canary, would they have gotten it wrong? At which point they pretty much said they were going to, they would have challenged.
If that would have happened, I think the challenge would have been upheld because it's like you didn't specify.
Yeah. It's actual like, name actual or superhero name.
Yeah. Because if I said Tony Stark or Iron Man, I'm right either way.
Synonymous.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's like it's just one of those things.
It's just something that you're never gonna know, but you like to wonder.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like with the question writers, it's like sometimes it's like be specific with the question, because like then that's left to judgment.
A little bit of a gray area.
It's a gray area, and it's left to the judgment of the judges. It's like, well, we were looking for this. It's like, well, the question didn't ask for that. And I think Mark Ellis is good about doing this, especially in the specialty divisions and of course in Star Wars, when it was like, what character did this? And we need the full name.
Yeah, first and last name.
First and last name. Because usually when they don't do that, it's like, oh, it's Monty. It's like, okay, yeah, we're correct. But it's like, well, you didn't say
which one.
Or whatever. It's like, no, you didn't ask for the full name.
Yeah.
So usually when they don't ask for the full name, they don't need the full name.
Yeah.
So that's
you wonder.
It's just me nitpicking. It's like, be specific with the question, because there's sometimes there are questions where it's like, I have no idea what you're asking for, so I think it's this. Mm. And it ends up either being right or wrong, depending on who you're talking to.
And how you interpret it.
Exactly. So it's like, leave as little to interpretation for the question as possible and be very specific with what you're asking for. Mm. Which is why I think you should write questions for the front.
I have fun.
Yes.
I've written a lot of questions about one franchise. I'm also just going to throw it out there. I have about 40 diehard questions if Josh McCuga would like to answer them.
DM him.
Just going to throw it out there.
You guys are on a first name basis with those guys. They talk about you all the time on the afternoon.
Not all the time. Yeah. Let's not get ahead. Let's calm our pants down. My goodness.
I'm pretty sure Amanda loves you.
I love Amanda. I FaceTimed with Amanda one time, but didn't go so well because I was in a bar.
Yeah,
I could barely hear her. I had a couple drinks.
We were out there for the draft, and Josh was like, "We should FaceTime with Amanda." It's a lot of just like, yeah.
I think I knew what you said.
Oh my God, yeah.
Let's do this for real one time. So anyway, round two, 20 to 23, Founding Fathers. Mm-hmm. Round three, two-pointer for Witching Power. They get directors and Perry takes it. How many films in the Planet of the Apes franchise did Matt Reeves direct? It was two, and she got it. Three-pointer, Witching Power, thrillers. Haley takes it, of course. Who plays Matt Graver in 2015's Sicario?
Thanos himself.
Josh Brolin. Mm-hmm. Got it. So now it bounces to the Founding Fathers. 2 points. Mm-hmm. Fantasy sci-fi. Dan decides to take it because John is kind of like,
Yeah, John was a little hesitant because he's like, oh, I'm not very good at sci-fi. And he's like, but it's a two-pointer, and then...
And then I'm pretty sure he definitely knew it.
He definitely knew it. And he's like, oh, yep, no.
So what late actor co-starred as Matt Damon's younger brother in 2005's The Brothers Grimm? Mm-hmm. The Joker himself, A Knight's Tale himself, mm-hmm. R.I.P. Heath Ledger.
And
he got it.
No, I was about to say something. I was like, oh, you're kind of giving it away with a late part of the question. It's like
context clues.
Yeah, it's context
clues. There's a lot of late actors.
Again, it's 2 points. So it's not really just meant to be insanely difficult.
Yeah. Three-pointer for John. He takes comedies. Mm-hmm. In Borat, what famous celebrity is Borat in love with and actually tries to kidnap? Pamela Anderson.
And he almost scared me because he said Pam Anderson.
I know, and it got kind of quiet for like a half second.
Pamela Anderson.
And I'm like, oh.
And again, it's one of those where it's like a judgment call. It's like, we know who he's talking about.
Yeah.
Pam, because, you know, it's like Jennifer Lopez or J-Lo. You know who I'm talking about.
Potato, potato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if there's another Pam Anderson in the world.
I don't know.
Probably. I mean, the chances are.
But when you say Pam Anderson, you know.
Yeah.
You know who everybody is talking about. So.
Yeah. Pamela.
Mm-hmm.
5-pointer, back to the Witching Power. They get new releases. In what 2019 film will you see a character named Medusa, who is a con artist who scams the film's leads? Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. And it is, I don't know if that's spoiler alert. I don't know if that's kind of like a, you know, a moment.
Yeah.
Or if you know it the whole time.
I don't know. I haven't seen this movie.
It's called The Hustle, I think. And they did miss it.
And they jokingly said, I'm sorry, Perry, but it's new releases. And everybody's like, oh, of course.
She doesn't like new releases?
No, she loves new releases.
Oh.
She competed in the new releases exhibition against, it was Brendan Meyer. I think Barbarian was in that one too.
Maybe.
I think he was in that one. But
yeah, I thought she liked them.
No, I wasn't sure. She really likes new releases and just one of these, and it was from 2019. So yeah. It's almost fairly recent because new releases in this year is weird because it's like, there's like five movies that came out this year.
Yeah.
So
basically,
yeah. So it's like, well, your new releases are basically going to be 2019,
yeah,
and 2018 at this point, or just all of 2019 because it's what, 18 months?
I think so, 12 to 18 months or something like that.
So it's like pretty much just 2019 because you really can't do 2020, and next year will be even more interesting for new releases.
There's not a big pool to choose from,
exactly. Unless you, well, a lot of them went.
Everything's going to be Tenet.
Well, yeah, there were a couple that were supposed to be released in theaters but went straight to digital. So I wonder if there'll be like an asterisk on 2020. It's like it was supposed to be theatrically released, but then because of COVID.
That's a good question.
It's an interesting question for next season because you could probably maybe name like 15 movies that came out this year. And there's some big movies that got pushed back too.
Yeah.
So or they big movies that went straight to digital. So it's just weird because it's supposed to be theatrically released movies, and a lot of these movies were digital. So question for next year. Question for the rule book next year. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
But
Everything is an asterisk this year.
Yeah.
So 25 to 28 in favor of the founding fathers.
Yes. Much needed points. It's kind of hoping for the knockout points, but hey, we'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
And we just have to take it all the way. If we're going to compete for the season, we need founding fathers to win this tournament and win those titles back. And we need Dan to defend, because I think that's our only opportunity for points.
I believe so.
So a lot of our season is hinging on a lot from Dan, Merle, and Roka.
Yeah.
So
tall order.
Tall again. Order. Yeah. Depending on because it doesn't get easier from here on out. It does not get easier.
No, everything just gets exponentially harder now. Yeah. When you're moving into the semifinals mm-hmm. of teams, then yeah. the finals, then you move on to, you know, the Super Bowl itself, spectacular.
Yeah.
So it's only going to get more and more intense
yeah.
and nail-bitery mm-hmm. from here.
Yeah, so now we could see the Founding Fathers.
Oh, okay, yeah. So let's check it. Hold mm-hmm. on. Where are we? Where am I?
Well, before we get to that, let's go and talk more about this this match. Okay. The Founding Fathers didn't do, like, oh my God, like knockout win type of stuff. Like,
we're lights out.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Neither of them got a perfect first round. They both missed one in the first. I hate to say navigated IG. They did well in IG. They had to go multiple choice a couple times. They missed one.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. very voluntarily checked down to multiple choice just to be safe, just yeah. to play a smart game, strategically speaking.
Yeah, and I think that's the takeaway after, because like when I finished watching this match, I was like, oh man, they didn't do well. But I was like, wait, go back and look at it. They said they wanted to play safe. They wanted to be yeah. sure if this is a bigger match.
Yeah, back against the wall. They're probably going to play a little bit more bold.
Yeah, they'll take those heavy swings more. I think this is just a strategic game out of them. They played it safe. Again, what I wanted to see the knockout win. This is the situation where I wanted to see a knockout.
Yeah.
Because of faction standings.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they didn't play terrible, but they didn't light anybody's pants on fire. It's like, oh my God, these are the founding fathers. Like it's the first round match. They want to make sure they get to the next one.
And hey, if you can afford to play mm-hmm. a bit, you know, what am I looking for?
Smart.
Safely.
Yeah.
Smart.
Play smart.
If you can afford to take it, you know, be safe in the second round, mm-hmm. then why not?
Yeah.
Why make a brash decision mm-hmm. and then pay the price potentially
yeah.
for being like, I'm Dan Merle and John Roca. I don't need multiple choice. If you can afford to play it safe, mm-hmm. play it safe
yeah.
and ensure that you're yeah. going on to the next round.
And this is where people start crying like, oh, you're contradicting yourself, because when they
went yeah, probably.
With the match between the Witching Power and the Misfits, mm-hmm. they were in a similar situation where not the best round twos for the Witching Power, but then, you know, they go into, they have this padded lead. It's like, let's play it safe. And I even said, it's like, this is a situation where if you didn't play safe, you probably would have won. So.
Yes. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always because hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what you're going to do if you're actually in the match.
Yeah.
That's going to be a totally different opinion. Mm-hmm. But yeah, hindsight with the Misfits Witching Power. Yeah.
yeah.
Had they not played it safe.
Yeah.
They, you know, may have turned out differently, mm-hmm. but I don't know. It's all different in the moment.
Yeah, and speaking from a competitor standpoint, like you don't want to leave really anything up to chance. If you have a sure, like I'm not 100% sure. I want to make 100% sure and don't give away points and don't yeah. miss anything. Check it down. All right, now I'm 100% sure. Now you're not leaving anything like, well, I think it's this.
Yeah, that's me. I'm not a gambler. Mm-hmm. I like sure things.
Yeah.
So if I have that kind of wiggle room. Mm-hmm. And I can safely use it, then
yeah.
wiggle me this, baby.
Because like, yeah, what happens if like you try to gamble and then you ended up going, you know, down in the third, and then you miss two in the third, and you it's like, oh, I really should have just played it safe and gone in the third round of the lead. So again, hindsight's 20/20. You know, Founding Fathers played a good game. I'm not saying they did terrible. A lot of people are like, oh man, I would have just wanted to expect a lot more from the Founding Fathers. These are just two legends, like. Pump your brakes. It's round one.
Yeah.
Well, they'll start taking more risks when they have to take more risks.
Yeah.
So then on the flip side of that, with the Witching Power, they played bit. They played good. I mean, that second round, people might say like, "Oh, the second round killed them." It's like it wasn't really one round that killed them.
It could have gone a lot worse in round two.
It could have gone a lot worse in round two, but I think it was a combination of the misses in first round with the opponent's choice in the second. It wasn't just one thing that happened to them in this match that cost the match. It was just a combination of the entire things not going their way. So here and there, like every point counts in any match.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like they just couldn't pick up the ball after they fumbled it a couple times.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what would have happened if Founding Fathers would have given them Westerns. Because on one hand, you're giving them something that I don't think a lot of people specialize in Westerns.
Yeah.
So on one hand, you got that where it seems like it might be a good move. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, you're like, oh, but do I want to take it off? Because I'm going to go ahead and assume John Rocha put that on the wheel. Mm-hmm. That's the question I always ask is, if I'm going second and my opponent gets opponent's choice, do I give them
my strength,
one of my strengths, hoping that I can get steals? And maybe I do, but then it's not on the wheel for myself. So I'm, you know, checking down my own probability of getting something I want. You know, it's a risk that you just got to...
Strategy, man. That's a level of strategy you got to think about.
Kind of wish... I'm curious what would have happened if they gave them Westerns, but I'm assuming maybe they left it there because they were like, that just ups our probability of getting what we want. Because then you can at least have Westerns, probably IG is what Dan put on there, and then you got Spinner's Choice. So you got 3 out of, 12 slices, how many they're on there. So maybe they were just trying to hike up their chances of getting what they wanted. Who knows?
Yeah. So, and unfortunately, it's the end of the season for Perry Nemiroff, who had one of the most shocking upsets in the entire season.
Yeah.
And she was playing well, and she said to herself, like, that you know, she, after she played the exhibition match with Brendan Meyer, she's like, oh yeah, I really want to play this again.
Yeah.
And she did well this season. And they both said they would like to stay with the Mercs. It's just, I don't see them being signed by him, because obviously you have to keep Shazam. That's your marquee players.
And then will he sign Kevin Smith because he's Kevin Smith?
Yeah. Or do you keep Scrimshaw, who is just, I think Scrimshaw is just like, we know the guy knows Star Wars. It's just, oh, God,
there's no doubt.
He
is a beast. He's dangerous.
Just look at his match history. It's all losses to like former champions or people that are about to compete for a championship or you know what I mean? He's just, that competitor just keep being matched up against people that just edge him out by that much all the time. And like, you put him in this past year in the Star Wars bracket, you put him anywhere else in the tournament, he goes all the way. He goes all the way you put him anywhere else.
Yeah.
So
if you guys hadn't met in round one, I think it would have been a much different tournament.
Scrimshaw is a Star Wars competitor that he's like a volcano waiting to erupt. Oh, and when it erupts, it's like,
he might do it next season because he's like, just give me somebody I can annihilate.
Yeah. And it just sucks because of his record, he's going to keep getting these matches that don't really favor him.
And he is a prime example of somebody whose record does not reflect their capabilities. No.
Again, if he gets the right matches and he gets the right spins, he can go on a run and go all the way to the title.
Yeah.
So if I were Koi, can really consider keeping Scrimshaw, because
he's a dangerous competitor.
It's a ticking time bomb with him.
Give him a rookie to... You just know, that maybe he can just obliterate and give him, you know, another taste of blood, you know, and then woo.
Even though he's not that kind of competitor.
he's totally not.
Yeah.
But
so only time will tell, see where these two end up. Maybe somebody else wants to swing in the fence, because they're obviously going to get picked up.
Shazam
and who knows who their third will be. So, that was the match between
Witching Power and Founding Fathers.
It was a good match. It was a better match. Like if I was on paper going to say, oh, well, how do you think these matches will go? I would have switched them. I was like, I would have saw Founding Fathers knocking out the Witching Power, and the one really going back and forth.
Yes, I agree.
It would have been the
if you told me the two outcomes, I agree.
Yeah, and it's like, oh yeah, no, it's these ones.
Yeah,
but shows you what we know about the Schmodown.
Exactly.
Anything can happen in the movie trivia Schmodown.
Exactly.
So this week's matches,
so
I imagine, is the continuation of the tournament.
You would be right. So we've got on Thursday, for the general public, we've got the Odd Couple versus Deception, the winner of M4, which I think is Deception.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's that right side of the bracket.
Yes.
So there's that. And then Friday the 27th, we have Odd Couple is Rock Stars and Deception is Corruption. And then on Friday, we've got Final Exam of SWAG versus the winner of M5, which should be the Founding Fathers of the Finstock Exchange.
Yeah, and Odd Couple is playing on being upset, the upset team. Because right now, like, obviously, if you look at this on paper, rookie team going up against the Odd Couple, former champions, it's like, oh, God, the upset team would be the rookie team going against them. It's like, the spoiler team to spoil all everything would be Odd Couple over Deception because point standings, Collins is on fire.
Yeah, from a faction standpoint. Yeah.
So it's like they're looking to, and Rockstars need this. Mm-hmm. They want to compete going into Spectacular because they have Jericho in that match, and they also have Alex Damon in that match. And if they can get their way through to the tournament, they'll have three opportunities for more points and all that stuff. But man, Deception, it looks dangerous. They look so dangerous. So this one should be a good one.
Oh, I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good week.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously Founding Fathers against Final Exam. Know who we're cheering for, but this is, it doesn't get easier.
No, not
at
all. It
does not get easier for them.
Not at all. I'm not going to make any speculations about of these matches because I just want them to happen.
Yeah.
However, they're going
to
happen.
And Paul Oyama has a score to settle with John Rocha because he lost earlier on in the season to him, and then Merle has a score to settle with Oyama for taking the title away from him. Oh. So interesting storylines all over the place.
Lon is just
Lon.
You're not trying to hurt nobody. He's just there. You're just trying to have a good time.
Yes, some very good matches. I mean, I think the one I'm looking forward to the most is probably the Deception Odd Couple.
I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, I am looking forward to the Founding Fathers because of faction wise, but like, I want to see how long Collins can just keep this up, man.
It's
interesting. Like,
very interesting.
Because, like, people would say, like, oh, we've seen runs like this before. It's like, I don't think we've ever seen a run like this before.
I don't think so.
The way that he's been playing, because Oyama's probably the next person that would be in line for a run like this because he went undefeated to defeat Dan Merle, of all people.
Yeah, but the fact that this guy just blew in out of nowhere.
Wins everything.
I don't even think he was drafted. I think he was a free agent.
Signed in free agency.
And then he, like, bulldozes his way through the singles tournament. And then he wins a horror free fall out of nowhere. And then he, like, busts into the team's tournament. He's like, meh, whatever, knockout.
I guess I'll knock out another person.
Boring.
I'll knock out two more legends of the game.
Yeah.
So, Jesus.
So, yeah, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. Think we've seen much.
It's gonna take
anything like this before.
I think this is the match of the week. Both of these ones should be match of the week, but like, my eyes are on that one.
Heck
for sure.
Yeah, me too. And it's interesting because I feel like either way, whatever happens on either side of the bracket, it's like, Christian must be just like salivating at these storylines.
And it's great because we have the three factions that are on jogging for first position in the faction standing are still in the tournament.
Yeah.
So one of them is going out this week.
But you got, I mean, let's say Deception takes it over Odd Couple. Mm-hmm. Then on the other side, you've got John Rocha, who probably wants Adam Collins' revenge. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to see a preview of Merle Collins.
Yeah.
Then you've got Final Exam. They don't have any beef with Deception.
I don't think they do.
Not really. That would just be fun to see.
Well, did Oyama took out Marisol, right?
Oh, actually, yeah. So maybe there's a little thing there.
Yeah, like I said, the Shmodana is all about comebacks, redemption, revenge.
And say Odd Couple were to take out Deception, then, you know, it's always a fun time to see Odd Couple against, like, Rocha.
Yeah.
You know, Snyder, I feel, is always going to have some kind of vendetta against Paul Oyama. I feel like no matter what happens, you got something.
And I don't think Jeff Snyder and Dan Merle have ever played each other. I could be making that up. I'm pretty sure that's true.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever played Merle. So that's an interesting storyline to go to try to get to. That'd be great to see too.
I just feel like no matter what happens, it's going to be some kind of beef.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Beef.
Beef. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. So I think we'll go ahead and end this episode here. And unless you have anything else to say about these matches or the next coming matches or...
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we'll go ahead and end this episode here. It's great, great matches, great coming matches. So Nikki DiMolanta, where they can find you online?
Ooh, Twitter, Dimmy, DimmyYYY.
In front of my microphone. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Drew DiMolanta, DimAlanta. If you're listening to us on audio form, please follow the feed and rate us. Please be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. And if you're watching us on YouTube, then like, comment, subscribe. And then you click that bell icon over there in that corner and see when we do things on YouTube.
So with that, we'll go ahead and end this episode here. Thank you so much for joining us on Beyond the Schmodan. We'll see you next time.